From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In this segment of the program, a step away from the war in Iraq. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in a case testing the federal ban on campaign contributions by nonprofit political advocacy organizations. Some of those organizations say the law violated their First Amendment rights to free speech and association. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
North Carolina Right to Life is an anti-abortion advocacy group that's set up as a corporation. It wants to give money directly to candidates, but because it's a corporation, it can't. Instead, it must create a separate political action committee with full disclosure of contributors and limits on the amounts a contributor may give. In the lower courts, the group won its legal challenge, and campaign reform advocates worried that yet another loophole would be created to evade congressionally enacted campaign contribution limits. At the Supreme Court today, however, there seemed little likelihood that the justices would invalidate the ban on corporate campaign contributions in any form. Justice Antonin Scalia was the only member of the court to express doubts. "I wouldn't shrug off the ability of people to band together to express ideas." But Deputy Solicitor General Paul Clement responded that if a group wants to express ideas in the form of political contributions, all it has to do is segregate those funds in a political action committee, disclose its contributors, and limit contributions to $5,000 per campaign. "No one has a right to make unlimited campaign contributions," he said, "or to contribute covertly without disclosure." Justice Scalia seemed to buy the argument, for when James Bopp, the lawyer representing North Carolina Right to Life, got up to argue, Scalia pounced. "The purpose of the corporate contribution ban," noted Scalia, "was to avoid political corruption. If I bribe a senator out of a political motive, not an economic motive, that's still corruption." Throughout the argument, the all but unmentioned elephant in the room was the McCain-Feingold campaign finance law. It finally got a mention when Justice O'Connor asked Deputy Solicitor General Clement pointedly if today's case was related to McCain-Feingold. Replied Clement, "The issue here is miraculously unaffected." The subtext of O'Connor's question, though, was unmistakable. Where is that case? Within minutes of McCain-Feingold being signed into law, its opponents challenged the law in court. A three-judge panel heard arguments December 3rd and 4th, and at those arguments, Chief Judge Karen Henderson volunteered that she expected her court to issue its decision by late January. Since then, there has been not a peep from Henderson's court, and the delay is significant. The law calls for an expedited appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And with presidential and congressional campaign fundraising already in full swing under the law's new limits, political Washington had expected a Supreme Court decision by early summer. With no decision from the three-judge court, however, that scenario now seems unlikely. The Supreme Court is now moving into its busiest time of the year, with some of its most important cases yet to be argued, and only 3 months left in the usual court term. Not to mention the fact that there could be one or more retirements in the offing. McCain-Feingold is the most sweeping revision of campaign finance law in a quarter century. There are more than 50,000 pages of evidence in the case testing its constitutionality, 1,600 pages of legal briefs. There are 80 individuals or groups challenging some 24 provisions of the law. What's more, lawyers on both sides of the issue agree privately that the outcome of the case in the lower court is relatively unimportant, except for how it affects timing. So what has held up the lower court's decision? No one seems to have a clue, though theories abound from the suspicious to the scholarly. What is undeniable is that even the justices of the Supreme Court are puzzled, perhaps even annoyed. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.